Take your Bibles tonight. Please turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 11. John's Gospel, chapter 11. My mind and my heart goes back to something that the pastor said this morning about what it is a privilege to serve the Lord, especially in that in the ministry where God has called you to preach. And I stand in awe in just that in itself when I look at myself and what I am. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. Not what we're going to be. That's right, Pastor. Praise the Lord. But it is a privilege and it is an honor to be able to serve the Lord in whatever capacity that He's called you in. And each and every one of you here tonight have a calling. God never saved anyone to sit down. He called us to serve. And it is such a privilege and an honor. And we ought to praise His holy name for every opportunity that He gives. And I thank the Lord for that which has been given to me here tonight. As we look here in John's Gospel, chapter 11. Those of you who are familiar with this text, and assuredly most, if not all of you would be, we're going to be revisiting the story of Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. And we must perceive this act of that as a tremendous, as well as a miraculous divine work of God, in that of raising one from the dead. But with that being said, and more so than that, is what Jesus is doing here to perform that of greater things that glorifies God and that of His glorious kingdom. And that's what I want to try to look at here tonight with God's help. And as we look at this, I want to speak of His divine as well as His infinite compassion that He exerts to each and every one, my friends, and that through which He provides to our need, and also that for us who are hurting, even to that of performing the miracle of salvation. And can I submit to you here tonight, there is no greater miracle among men than that of the saving of one's soul. Nothing can touch it. And I thank God for it that He can take an old, cold, stony, going to hell heart and save it from the guttermost unto the uttermost. I might start heading somewhere else preaching tonight. I don't know where I'm going. But we're going to look here in the Word of God. And in fact, as I've already said, that of salvation, I think of the book of John in that as it is written. And beloved, it's written, I believe, not entirely, but with emphasis on that of lost sinners, that they may believe unto salvation. And in fact, in John chapter 20 and verse 31, and this is, again, not part of the text, but it declares unto us, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. Praise God, I have life through His name because I am a child of God. And Jesus also declared unto us, He says, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. And also in John chapter 1 and verse 4, He says, in Him was life and the life was the light of men. Thank God for that tonight. And in keeping there with that thought and with the actions and the events of the Lord Jesus, we're going to see Him tonight touching lives. Touching lives in a manner of healing. And that is so important as we look at the healing of the brokenhearted. But also we're going to see that of the healing of the physical. And then thirdly, we're going to see which is most important and paramount to all is that Christ performs spiritual healing. And when I say that of spiritual healing, can I say to you this? In this regard, when Dr. Jesus comes on the scene, it doesn't matter when in sorrow, when in fear, discouragement, despair, if you're drifting aimlessly and hopelessly, my friends, Healing is on the way through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the text. Everyone, please stand with me as we give in reverence to the reading of God's Word. John chapter 11, and I'm going to look beginning with verse number 19. John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 19. If everyone is there, say amen. Amen. And the Bible says, "And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I recall these words that were said by that of Peter in John's Gospel, chapter 6, where Peter himself says, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can I attest to you here tonight, church, that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Bible says, on through that, she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. And I want to just look at that thought here for a little while tonight. The Master is come, and He's calling for someone tonight. And beloved, let me look at this as we look at the thought, as we gather our spirit and mindful things under this. Little did Martha and Mary understand or know, and many others, my friends, even in this day, realize or understand what the healing was to come. But I'm saying to you tonight, when the Master comes, there is healing on the way. But as we look at this too, remember, beloved, that all of this, and this is part of the thought I want to try to give you here tonight before we go to the Lord in prayer. Everything that is preached here this night, and that which is to be given to you, beloved, for your edification, for your discernment, for your understanding, for your knowledge, is that many, those would come to believe and that God would be glorified. And we'll read this time and time again through the text as God has rendered unto us. In verse 4, the Bible says, When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified hereby. In verse 15, he says, And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Listen, beloved, he again says that you may believe. And then we look on even just a little bit farther there in verse number 40. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And verse 42, And I knew that thou hearest me always. And this is Jesus praying unto his heavenly Father. He says, But because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe, and thou hast sent me. Believing brings glory unto God. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for everything that's been accomplished here in this service tonight. Lord, thank you for the songs. God, thank you for the sweet spirit as it moves upon us, Lord, even in this hour. Lord, may you take this old preacher, dear God, as feeble and as finite as I may be, Lord, and clothe me in my calling, God. May you anoint my mind and my lips and God, my spirit within me, that I could preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. So God, again, I pray, move in our midst, and we'll surely thank you and praise you, Lord, for all that you're going to do for us here tonight. And Jesus, Jesus, come meet with thy people. And Lord, may you bring healing to that one here in need tonight. And Father, we'll surely thank you and praise you in your precious name of the Savior. And in his name we do pray. And God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Beloved, as we look here in this story, and I want to just kind of go back just a few verses, I may, or even right into the front of the text. As we look here, Jesus has been sent message by a messenger that was sent on by Mary and Martha of that of the sickness of their brother Lazarus. And as we look at this story, beloved, I want to unfold something to you of great importance. As I've said, there are many things that could be brought out from our text, but I believe that the Lord is bringing something out here, beloved, that we need to see and that we need to recognize and we need to understand and discern what God is trying to do for each and every one of us here tonight. As I look across this congregation, I believe that there are people that are in need. I believe that there are people that needs a healing touch from the Master. And let me say this to you one more time. The Master, beloved, is calling for you. Hey, listen, healing is on the way. I'm not talking about faith healing in the sense, beloved, of these guru preachers. I'm talking about genuine, God-sent healing that can come upon each and every one of us. As we would look at this, there are three types of healing as we'll go through their text. We can see that of the healing of the brokenhearted, those, my friends, that are emotionally ill, set aside. But also, beloved, in our text, we're going to see that of physical healing. But most important, as I've already stated, as we preface the message text, was that there's going to be spiritual healing. Thank God for spiritual healing tonight. But as we look here at the story, Jesus was there in a place, as the Bible scholars have looked and searched and restudied in this, beloved, into a little community by the name of Bethabara. Bethabara is a little township or community right off from the side of the Jordan River. And the location of this place is about 20 miles from that of the township that Mary and Martha and Lazarus resided in, about 20 miles away. And there the Lord Jesus Christ was ministering. So the word comes to Jesus that there is a sickness that has taken hold of Lazarus, and they are beckoning him to come quickly, to come expediently to that of the need that Lazarus has. But Jesus tarries there. Now, as we look at this, the Bible says in the Word of God that Jesus tarried 2 days. Now, I want you to pay a little attention to the mathematics that I'm trying to bring out to you here tonight. Beloved, as we're going to look at this just a little bit deeper, we're going to see in context that our Lord was there 4 days away of coming into the presence of Mary and Martha and there in the town of Bethany. So with that being said, with that of a 20-mile trip, the messenger took 1 day. It would have taken every bit, Pastor, of 1 day for someone to deliver that message, that which was received. And the Bible then says that Jesus tarried, what, 2 days. And then the Bible also would indicate to us, based on what it took the messenger and the time to come unto Jesus, it would have taken the equal amount of time to get back to Bethany. Beloved, we're looking at 4 days. 4 days. Is my math right? If mine's not right, the Bible math is right. And the Word of God says it, because in verse 17, the Bible mentions the fact about Lazarus being dead for 4 days. In fact, it's also mentioned over in verse 39, I believe, if my recollection is right. In verse 17, it says, then when Jesus came, he found that he, that is Lazarus, had laid in the grave 4 days already. Then in verse number 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And that's where he was there at the entombment of Lazarus. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Everybody in agreement with that? Now let me throw this at you. It was the custom of the Jews in that day and time that they did not embalm the dead. Now yes, embalming processes were going on in Egypt and most likely other surrounding countries and nations in that area. But it was the Jews' custom in that day, in that time, not to embalm the dead. So immediately, beloved, they have the funeral process or the memorial process, and they actually go on to the burial. With that being said, of the embalming or not embalming such a one, there was also a belief and a custom of belief unto the Jew of this, and you need to grab a hold of this, is that the spirit of the individual remained with the deceased body for 3 days before the spirit would depart. And as long in this custom as they believed, as long as the spirit remained with the body, then there would be no validated, true, and credible resurrection. Jesus took 4 days. So that when Lazarus was raised from the dead, when Jesus said, loose him and let him go, there would be no doubt that Jesus Christ had raised him from the dead. Hallelujah, praise God. That's so much for the skeptics and the scoffers and all of the rest of them. My friends, Jesus was come that they may believe on him and God be glorified. Everyone, beloved, who Christ ministers unto them, that, beloved, he can bestow that healing upon them, and they would receive that healing, and they would thank God. There is glory in heaven for that of which has been done by God. Now look at this. I got to hurry right along. If I preach too long, the preacher will never call on me again. First of all, the healing and the broken of hearts. And beloved, when I say the healing of broken hearts, I'm talking about the emotional seat that exists within each and every one of us. How many of you had a broken heart at some point in time that you were so much in agony and suffering and in pain, my friends, that within deep in your heart, hey, listen, the emotional stress and the strain and the suffering came upon you. Hey, listen, I am sure that everyone in here should know what this preacher's talking about. There is suffering and such. But Jesus has come to take care of this. Let's look here real quickly back in verse number 19. First of all, we're going to see the Jews comforting. And we see this in verse number 19 where it says, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And then, beloved, we look on down here in that of verse 31. Now notice here again, the Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her. I want you to know, my friends, listen, every one of us has been there when a loved one has passed on. It could be a mother or a father, a son or a daughter, a husband or a wife that has passed on and gone on, beloved. How we're so grieved within our spirit. How we're so beside ourselves. How we know that there's just no way, nowhere of getting comforting. But yet God's people and family and friends and the church folk, they will come and they'll minister to you. They'll wrap their arms around you. They'll hold you and embrace you and whisper, my friends, those words of encouragement. Beloved, let me say this to you. It is so important that we can provide some comforting and help to those that are afflicted. But praise God, there is one who can bring that healing, praise God, that no man can perform. Let me show you. The Bible says, as we see the comforting of the Savior beyond that of which the kindred townsfolk and other people brought, it says unto us here in verse number 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Let me ask you this tonight, church. Isn't it comforting to know whether it's a preacher standing there over that of a coffin preaching a memorial service, or my friends, any other circumstance, isn't it comforting to know from the very Word of God that those which die in Christ will live again? Amen. It's comforting to know that when the Lord says, ye shall rise again, you shall be a bearer of the fruits of the resurrection. Amen. Amen. Can I just preach a little more? And the Bible says in here, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Yes, she held the resurrection hope, just like you and I here tonight, beloved. And then we see these words, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? How many believe that tonight? If you don't, I'm going to make a believer out of you. Right from the Word of God. This, my friends, the comforting can come from the Master, and the Master is calling for those that need comforted. I think of what it says over in the 147th Psalm. He says, he healeth that, my friends, of the broken heart, and bindeth up their wounds. Thank God for that. And then in Isaiah chapter 49, in verse 13, it says, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted, my friends. Hey, listen, God is gracious and he's ever loving and compassionate. And I think of what it says, one of my most favorite of the Psalms, in Psalms 34, we see these words in verse 17. The Bible says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Praise God. Woo! Praise God. Oh, Lord. Listen. Comforting to Martha and Mary. The same comforting he gives to you and I. Even as he wept and sorrowed with them, the healing had begun. Beloved, I believe that the Lord knows every pain, every suffering, every heartache, everything that we have. And I believe, my friends, hey, listen, he comforts us with the love that we need in that time of healing. But not only does he heal those of a broken heart. Secondly, we see, my friends, there's also physical healing. And we see this looking at verse 38. If you'll turn there with me real quickly. Hey, listen, I'm going to give you what I promised to give you. And what I promised to give you is that which is from the Lord. Not from this preacher. But I want you to notice here, beginning in verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, as we had read, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And then he says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. This same Jesus, he caused the lame to walk, the dumb to talk, the blind to see, and there he would cleanse the lepers, even the lepers of sin. If Jesus can do all of that, he surely can raise one from the dead. You tell me tonight, beloved, is there any greater healing than raising one from the dead? That's the pinnacle of healing, of the physical. But this was not an ordinary for our Lord. This was not a taskful situation. I think about Jesus and all of the healings that he had done, my friends, as we have read in the Scriptures time and time and time again. We could not cover all of those, my friends, in a given time. But, beloved, we see this from time and time again. And I think back through the Scripture so oftentimes, especially when we look back into that of the book of Mark and that of Jairus' daughter that was raised. Now, I want you to and just notice here, let me just read real quickly here in part as we see the daughter of Jairus. And it says, "And when he," that is Jesus, "was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." Oh, my. Hey, you're wearing yourself over nothing. Something that I can take care of. Praise God. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, thank God, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise! And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. What about the widow there of Nain of her son that has passed on, that has died? Beloved, I read about, whoo, praise God, I'm going to get beside myself here just a minute. Hey, just let me alone. Let me get through it. The Bible said in verse number 12, Now when he, who's the he? It's Jesus, came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all. And they what? They glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. In the book of Deuteronomy, God said, I would raise up a great prophet. Weep not! Do not have so much to ado about this. Hey, the Master is come. And He'll provide each and every need. Not only did Jesus have the power, but He also gave empowerment to that of the apostolic group there of His disciples. I think also about Paul, my friends. Listen, he had the power of God that was given unto him, that was bestowed upon him to raise those from the dead. I think about the Apostle Peter, my friends, and the account that we have over in the book of Acts in chapter 9, my friends, of the one that was raised from the dead. We see that. Let me just read this. I'm trying to press a point with you here tonight if you haven't seen it yet. Remember what I said when I opened, those that believe would bring glory to God. Everything that I've recited to you here tonight is that, listen, that many would believe and God receive the glory for it. It says here in the Scriptures in Acts chapter 9, Now there was a Joppa, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. And this woman was full of good works and almsdeeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood up by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. I believe there's something to all this. All this was accomplished. And that, my friends, for that of the greatest healing. Now, if you'll notice everything that we've looked at, that of the healing of the brokenhearted, that of the physical healing, was that to introduce unto them that of spiritual healing. And without the spiritual healing, beloved, your bodies may be racked with diseases, sicknesses, and everything else. You may be brokenhearted and so distraught within your spirit. But let me say this to you. With all of these things that could be ongoing with you, even here tonight, if you've had that spiritual healing, God will get you through. He'll get you through. And if you don't have it, you need to leave here tonight with it. Amen. Let's just look here just a little bit farther as we see our Lord bringing that spiritual healing. Again, I repeat a couple of verses here unto you. But as we look here, we're going to read these two verses. It says again in verse 42, Jesus, as he prayed and knowing that his heavenly Father was there, my friends, overseeing, he said, I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may what? Believe that thou hast sent me. We look down here at verse 45. Oh, praise God. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Woo! Praise God. Say, oh, preacher, what a glorious story. What a happy ending. Oh, I can see it. And I've experienced some of this. And preacher, I may need to experience some more in my lifetime. And let me assure you, beloved, as we continue this pilgrimage walk, we will need that continual healing that it can only come from the Lord. Even if the surgeon has precisely performed any type of procedure on there, which I have had, hey, listen, it does not matter because all healing is divine. It's all right to shake his hand, tell me good job, and thank you for helping me out. Let's just praise God and thank the Lord, both you and I, Mr. Surgeon. We can't do nothing without him. Say, preacher, what a happy, happy ending. No, this is a sad story. A very sad story. In fact, it concludes with a very disturbing conclusion. And what a sad commentary that it brings. I read on just a little bit further. And my Bible says unto me, if I read to you just momentarily. Now I've read all the way down. We've gone from verse 1 to verse 45. But when we get to verse 46, we see that conjunctive word, but. The word but always gets in the way.
Have you ever noticed that? But notice what it says. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Now I want you to notice, we just concluded verse 45 that says that those, my friends, the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on Him. But here we've got another group that believed not. That's what's sad. They went their ways to the Pharisees. Let me say this to you tonight, church. The Bible plainly says unto us, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And these, my friends, when they went to their ways, and let me say this to you tonight, there's only one way that you can go. My Bible says unto me, as I look here in this text, it is plural, ways. Many ways. Only one way to Christ, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto me except by the Father. Hey, listen, beloved. It's a sad story. We could call these whistleblowers that told the truth. Because look what happens. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. In other words, what in the world we're going to do? We were there. We've seen. And there many have come to that of Jesus for healing of their spirit. What are we going to do? He's drawing a crowd. They're increasing. This man is doing many miracles. He says, and if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. There we see that word believe again. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. I noticed here in verse 48, Pastor, I'm sure you noticed this and some of the others. It says, if we let him thus alone, all, A-double-L, the littlest, biggest word in the Bible, all men will believe on him. Anybody that will allow themselves to get alone with the Holy Spirit of God, I believe something's going to happen, brother. Every one of us has a free will choice. You've chosen to be saved or you've chosen to be lost. And Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. There's no gray area. But there, beloved, we can see these ones have distanced themselves from them, and we can see the motive that exists in it all. Because they said, and the Romans shall come. That's the Roman government, my friends, which they were in as such captive to. And it says, and take away both our place and nation. The place they had was that of religious authority. And the Roman government, brother, would leave them alone as long as they stayed in obedience to the things of the Roman government. Let them go over and play their religion as much as they want, just as long as they don't get an upstory and bring problems unto us. Kind of like that today, isn't it? So not only are we going to lose our power and authority, we're going to also be downsized to nothing. They will do away with us. You see, something has to happen here for healing. You've got to turn from a religion and turn to Christ. And they couldn't turn away from the religion and turn to Christ. the very reason they sought him out and hung him and crucified him on a cross. Listen, the Master is come. My final comment to you here, beloved, just in brief here tonight, and you let the Lord settle within you. As I look for those that are here, I believe if we were very candid and truthful and outspoken in our hearts, and I'm not asking for any show of hands. It's no use for me asking for a show of hands when God's looking upon the heart and He's the one that counts. I'll pray for you. I'll minister for you. I'll try to counsel with you. I'll do anything and everything that God will empower me to do for you. But listen, beloved, this is something that is between you. It's a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ that you've got to have between you and Him. So getting back to what I'm saying, and then we're going to let you go. Where are you at tonight? The Master has come, and He's calling for you. There are those here tonight, I believe, that are hurting. There's emotional distress, stress, incompleteness, sorrowfulness, hurting. Hey, listen, it could be domestic situations. It could be other situations, beloved, that are involved in your life, but there are hurting people in every group, every congregation you go into. And there's some that's healing and hurting from the heart here tonight. There's some of you here tonight that needs a physical touch from the Master. Have you come to Him? Have you besought Him to aid you in your time and need? Physical healing. We've seen proof pudding that Jesus can do it all in one little event that you could believe and that God would be glorified. And then I'm going to ask this question. Could you possibly be one of those that has been and seen the workings of God, but yet you went to your own ways? You may even be playing religion. Your name may be on the church roll here. You may have got dunked and plunked in that baptistry up there. You may have come and made many professions of faith. You may take that of the communion table. You may have done all of the things that you've seen other Christians do. But let me ask you this. Have you truly been spiritually healed? Beloved, we think the physical torments of this life, and we think of the heartaches of this life, it's nothing compared, my friends, to that of a literal burning hell that never stops. Have you made that choice for yourself here tonight? It's between you and the Lord. I go back with this just in closing. And the Bible said in verse 28, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Now notice, as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. There's your option. Go to the ways of those who rejected and turned on Christ. To the religious movement. Where you can drop all of that, put all of that aside, cast all of that away, and truly and in sincerity of heart and spirit, come to the Master. He's calling. He's calling. Break down the chains and the arms of resistance and let Him in that ye may believe. Believest thou this? Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the liberty. Lord, thank You for the empowerment. God, that You've touched this old failed preacher, Lord, and just enabled me, Lord, to present Christ unto each and every one here tonight. So oftentimes, Lord, we think that every service is just a service, Lord, to get lost sinners to the altar, Lord, and we should strive. Oh, God, help us. I believe, Lord, every message needs to have salvation in it. But then, Lord, there's so many of your people that is hurting too, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help them, that they would put more faith and more confidence in you. The Bible says in the Psalms, Lord, it's better to trust in the Lord than to have confidence in man. Lord, our trust should always be in Thee. So, Lord, may the sweet Holy Spirit go from door to door. That is the heart's door of each and every one here tonight. Lord, you know their needs. And, Father, they may be needy because, Lord, they'll not come. So, Lord, I pray that you'd stir their spirit, their heart, Lord. And, Father, we'll surely thank you. Lord, bless this pastor and his church, each and every one, Lord, who labors here for the cause of Christ. Thank you, Lord. You've allowed this, thy servant, to minister tonight. And again, Father, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.